Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Wednesday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. Of course, with me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, of course, since it's Wednesday, the new blog did go up this morning, so swing on over there and check that out. Oddly, it ended up being all football related. It was just one of those things that happened, kind of wrapping up the regular season and the fantasy season. But still, get over there, check that out. And, of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, swing it over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could give that a like while you're over there, well, we greatly appreciate that. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is, yeah, come on, you know it by now, it's at Sports Time Radio. Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man.
All right, you know, Dan, you know, this story seems to be another one of those things that just won't die. The Giants had an off day. I'm trying to remember if it was Sunday or Monday. It might have been Monday. You know, a lot of NFL teams will take Mondays off. And basically the wide receiver group decided to get on a plane and go to Miami for the holiday and party it up a little bit. And for whatever reason, and the group they list here, let me get it right, Odell Beckham Jr., Victor Cruz, Sterling Shepard, and Roger Lewis, which are the top four wide receivers on the Giants. And what I can't figure out, and I'm just kind of attributing it to old white media not understanding the new culture of kind of America, but they just will not let this story go, talking about how it's going to affect them against the Packers this weekend. And it, you know, they can't believe they did this. And Dan, the game is Sunday, I believe. I mean, they didn't miss a practice. They didn't miss any meetings. It's their free time. They didn't get arrested. You know, there were no charges, no trouble. There were some very odd shirtless yacht pictures that apparently appeared on, like, Instagram and Twitter and stuff. But, you know, they were at the club with, you know, the Biebs, your guy Justin Bieber. I think they had a photo with Johnny Manziel. There were a couple other famous people there as well. Help me out here, Dan. It's their off day. I mean, why are these guys getting killed for their off day?
Because apparently their off day doesn't mean it's their off day. It's what the NFL says they could do on their off day, right?
Well, you know, the weird part is, like, it's not the NFL. It's the writers who cover them. You know, like Goodell in the offices and everything hasn't said a word, but it's like the beat writers are, for whatever reason, and of course, you know, the national media guys are, we're just all over this. And I just kind of, you know, like, I mean, on your off days, I know, you know, you go to IKEA and whatever else your wife tells you need to do. But, you know, these guys decided they were going to Miami. You know, what is it? I think I heard somebody say you can get a 3-hour direct flight. I'm sure they probably, you know, had a private plane anyways. They're not flying commercial like, you know, you or I would have to do. So it was probably even less than that. You know, you go down, you have a good time. Nobody missed Tuesday practices or meetings. They were all back in time. I don't understand the issue. It's just kind of weird.
Well, I think it's like you've got a bunch of old guys.
And I did get a kick out of Eli Manning. Now, I don't follow him on Twitter. He's one of the few people, I guess, I don't follow. But he posted a tweet about how he was concerned by their lack of packing because, you know, he went on to say it doesn't look like they pack shirts, and for some reason they all had long pants, not shorts, and shoes, not flip-flops, or the Florida weather. So he humorously did a nice job of trying to, you know, diffuse the situation. Then I also enjoyed the fact that he attempted to try to convince people that he was the one taking the picture of them on the yacht, and he went on to say that they wouldn't let him in the photo because he actually had a shirt on. So I did get a kick out of that. I thought he handled that very well as a, you know, a leader. But yeah, I was just kind of baffled because it's, you know, you know, everybody wrote it off as, okay, hey, cool. You know, they're out having a good time. And then the media got a hold of it and it was like, good Lord, you want to do, I mean, do they have to lock themselves in their houses for their off days? Is that what they want them to do?
I think so. Well, I mean, I was going to ask you. It's not like they went with the Packers wide receivers, too.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like they, you know, they were all hanging out together. I mean, I don't know what the Packers wide receivers did. They didn't post anything or however, you know, it worked out. But, yeah, I just I don't know. It just kind of well, I guess what I couldn't figure out is, and, I, you know, even to this day, I can't figure it out because it's Wednesday, and this is still a mainstream, like, media story. And you damn well know if they lose on Saturday to the Packers, you know, even though the Packers have won, like, six straight and they're the home team and, you know, Aaron Rodgers is in the MVP discussion, you know the first question that's going to be asked at the Giants press conference is, well, did when they went to that trip on Monday, did it hurt the team? Okay, yeah, duh. Morons. I just, you know, report on the game. Let's find out something that's going on in the game. I mean, who, you know, obviously, you know, you and I joked about all those NBA guys going on vacation together. This wasn't even as big a story as, or this is actually a bigger story than that was. And these are guys who compete against each other.
Well, I guess all bets are off when it's off season, right?
Yeah, I guess, yeah, it doesn't matter. It just kind of, I just keep laughing every time it comes up. I mean, I saw it, I had the good old SportsCenter on, and it came up as one of the top stories. And I'm like, really? There's nothing else going on today that we can't talk about, you know, anything? I mean, there wasn't a baseball signing or, you know, maybe we talk about the fact that the Raiders have to start a rookie quarterback in the playoffs or, you know, anything like that. No, we're going to, you know, the first football story we're going to talk about is four guys went on a day trip to Miami. Nothing happened except they partied it up at a nightclub and took some just odd pictures. And then they came back and went to practice. Okay, that's kind of the story, isn't it? I mean, where else does it go from here? But man, it's got legs. It's running, Dan. I don't know if it'll stop.
I don't think it will.
And now this one, this is the other one you have to explain to me because, you know, I guess it's racist when you look at it. But on Tuesday, you know, my good old favorite team, the Seahawks, as you know, they're playing the Lions on Saturday. You know, the favorite quote, of course, the press gets from Seattle is Michael Bennett, the defensive lineman, went out and called Zach Zenner, the Detroit Lions running back, the best white running back in the NFL. I don't know, Dan. Why do they have to add race to the conversation?
Because he'll start trouble if he says that he's the best.
Yeah, you know, I guess, you know, the question is, you know, my other question is, why isn't this, shouldn't this be the bigger NFL story? I mean, if a Detroit lineman had said Russell Wilson was the best black quarterback in the NFL, all hell would be breaking loose right now, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but I think, you know, since the election is over, they don't need to, you know, pit us against each other anymore. So a story like this isn't going to blow up, maybe?
Yeah, you know, it was just like I said, I just thought it was really weird that, you know, you had to include the rate. You know, I mean, in reality, what he probably should have called him was underrated, because nobody really knows a whole lot about Zach Zenner, and he really just moved into his first string role with the injury to Theo Riddick. So I think that would have been a whole lot better way to describe him than just calling him white. I know Michael Bennett is that guy who likes to stir things up. You know, he likes to say these kind of things. And I'm wondering, Dan, do you think he did this intentionally? He knew all along he was going to try to create some controversy here.
I think so, but, you know, the talking heads are afraid to spin it the other way when it comes from that side, as you could say.
Yeah, I just found it weird that, you know, he had to bring race in it. And, I mean, I don't care, you know, one way or the other that, he called it white. I mean, you know, I'm white, you're kind of white. So, yeah, you know, I mean, it's no big deal to me. I just kind of thought it was weird that, you know, and oddly, I don't even know if he's correct, because, you know, Danny Woodhead is out. He was out for the season, but I still think Danny Woodhead is probably a better running back than Zach Zenner. It doesn't matter what color they are. It just, you know, they just both happen to be, you know, white guys, but like I said, it was just kind of weird. And, you know, normally I support Michael Bennett when he does these kind of stupid things. And, you know, he wants to get out there. But, you know, he's my guy on my team. You know, I like the Seahawks and, you know, I openly root for them. But, I whatever he's looking for here, I just can't get behind it this time. I can't support the, you know, call it reverse racism or whatever you want to attempt to describe it as. I think it was a bad choice of words by him.
Probably. Kind of sticking with the Seahawks today. Maybe I missed something over the last couple of weeks, but I was scrolling through Facebook, and I don't know if I like this page or I'm friends with Devin Hester, but he posted a picture of the Seattle, his locker in Seattle. He's on the Seahawks?
Yes, he is. Yes, they. I actually posted the article on the Sports Time Radio Facebook page as well. He was signed by the Seahawks today. I don't know how many people remember, but their main kick returner was Tyler Lockett, and Lockett ended up breaking his leg in Week 16. For the final week of the season, they had Richard Sherman returning. Nobody wants to see that. Nobody wants to see Richard Sherman back there trying to return a punt in the playoffs. He's much, much too important to the team as a defensive back. Today they went out and they signed Devin Hester. So he will be returning kicks on Saturday for the Seahawks against the Lions. So he will get another shot here. I don't think it would go past that because, you know, obviously Lockett would be healthy for next year. But yeah, he'll get a shot this weekend to maybe go to another Super Bowl. I don't think the Seahawks are going to get there, but I'm really hoping. As the playoffs kind of get started this weekend, I do believe they'll beat Detroit, but I'm not sure they manage to go any farther than that. But yeah, look for Devin Hester this weekend in a. You know, at least as a return man, I don't think he'll play very much offense, but at least as a return man. So, but, you know, since you brought up, you know, my favorite team, I wanted to ask you about this with yours there, Dan. This came up yesterday. You know, the Vikings head coach Mike Zimmer came out and said Sam Bradford deserves, I think he used the term chance or however he described it, but Sam Bradford deserves the chance to be the starting quarterback. Are you a little surprised by that? Because don't they have a guy by the name of Teddy Bridgewater? So, you know, they got a lot of stuff going on there in Minnesota. And hang on, Dan had to take off for a second to take another call. So we will, talk about it without him. So. It was quite interesting. I mean, I know Bradford, you know, he set an NFL record for completion percentage, I believe it was. So, but Dan, you know, I hear, sorry, I didn't know you were going away. I started asking you questions, but, I want to know, Dan, what do you think about Mike Zimmer coming out and saying that Sam Bradford deserves a chance to be the Vikings' number one quarterback? What about Teddy Bridgewater?
I think it's wrong. You know, I don't know where to go with that. Bradford played with him. I don't know.
Hang on, you were breaking, yeah, you were breaking up a little bit there. I didn't get the first part of your answer.
I don't think, you know, and I guess part of it is I think I was lucky the first 5 games. Okay, so,
no. Yeah, well, you know, it seems so odd. You know, he did again. You know, like I mentioned, he set the record for best completion percentage ever in a season, but. You know, when you kind of look at it, I mean, was it really all that impressive? You know, I mean, were you all that impressed by the Vikings offense? Oh, okay. Well, we're having some wonderful luck here. Not only was Dan breaking up, now he dropped off. So let's Give Dan a second to get reset and call us in here. I want to hunt down Sam Bradford's stats anyways here so we can kind of look at them and go over them as Dan is attempting to get us situated. Where is he? There he is. Sam Bradford was actually 16th in total passing yards. There it goes. Looks like we got Dan back. So, boy, you must have hit a bad spot. First you broke up, then you disappeared.
Because I called, so if I get it. You know, you brought up an interesting point, but, and I know you can't compare apples to oranges, but last year the Capitals had the best record, or were the best team in the NHL, and
Yeah, well, you know, we saw enough of the Vikings to kind of look at the team. I mean, you know, looking at it, Bradford completed 71.6% of his passes. All right, that was number one overall, but he was 16th in yards, 20 touchdowns with 5 picks. So he had a good quarterback rating, but, you know, all the passes were really short, kind of check down kind of stuff. I mean, I'm looking here. His yards per attempt puts him at 19th overall at 7.02, just ahead of Trevor Siemian, who was 7.0, 7 yards an attempt. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, is that, it, you know, obviously it's a very safe offense that, you know, Minnesota is running and, you know, all the other stuff that kind of goes with it. But is that going to scare anybody off? I mean, we'll get, you know, they'll get a healthy Adrian Peterson to start the season. But again, I don't know if that's enough to support I don't even know if you could call it a West Coast offense, but I mean, you know, they have some threats. I know Laquan Treadwell was kind of a bust as a, you know, as a first round draft pick, and you know, Cordarrelle Patterson hasn't really worked out, but you know, Charles Johnson had a really good connection with Teddy Bridgewater, and you know, that kind of seemed to go away. I know he battled some injury issues as well throughout the season. So, you know, it was just kind of, you know, one of those years for the Vikings. But, you know, Dan, is it going to be tough for you to root for a dink and dunk passing offense? I mean, how exciting is that going to be?
What do you mean, dink and dunk? I never heard that one before.
Well, you know, I'm looking at their averages here, and the highest average they have for a wide receiver with catches is Adam Thielen, who caught 69 passes and averaged 14 yards a catch. Next is Stephon Diggs, who the year before with Teddy Bridgewater had a really, really good year and looked like he was going to be a breakout guy. This year he did catch 84 passes, but he only averaged 10.8 yards a catch. So it's like everything is short and underneath, and they just don't seem to, you know, attack. I mean, they have some deep threats. It's kind of like they don't use them, or they're scared to use them, or, you know, however you want to look at it. I mean, it's just kind of Bradford style to throw underneath.
Yeah, I kind of noticed that this year that all of his passes were maybe a step up from the Trestman situation or strategy, where, you know, you throw to the guy 1 yard past the line of scrimmage, which makes no sense to me. You might as well run the damn ball. So, for me, I think that's one of the reasons why I couldn't fully go in with him being your number one. I mean, it would be interesting to me to see if, you know, to pull a baseball term, to see if they could platoon. Although that would never work in the NFL.
There actually is a chance Bridgewater won't be healthy or ready to come back in week one, you know, next year. So I don't know if maybe he was setting that up. But, you know, looking here, Thielen's 14-yard average a catch makes him tied for 25th. In the league out of average per catches. So the top two guys averaged 17.9 per catch. That was DeSean Jackson of the Redskins and Chris Hogan of the Patriots. You know, even the injured Alshon Jeffries averaged 15.8 yards a catch. So yeah, just kind of, yeah, kind of weird, you know, because they have downfield threats. They just, it's almost like they don't want to use them.
Yeah, well, you mentioned earlier about him having the pass completion record. I mean, after Jay Cutler finishes up next year, however many games he plays, he will single-handedly go down in Bears history as the greatest Bears quarterback, record-wise.
Yeah, he'll have all the records. You know, I mean, just because the Bears have notoriously been a running team for many, many years, but yeah, they'll all fall in Jay Cutler's lap.
So I mean, telling an entire team that because the guy had the best completion rating for the season, one simple little record, I don't think guarantees you the game or, you know, the job.
You know, that, I wonder if you're Teddy Bridgewater, how do you feel about that comment? I mean, you know, it was your team. You really looked like you were improving, you know, towards the end of last year. You know, and I wonder, you know, maybe if Bridgewater stays healthy, if this team is a playoff team.
I would think so, but there's something wrong with their defense.
Yeah, well, they got tired. They were on the field so much. So...
So I was like, that Relaxer Bears defense?
Yeah. Yeah, you just can't keep running those poor guys out there. You know, sooner or later, they're just going to, you know, keel over. But, you know, like I said, I just thought it was a very odd comment, you know, to kind of hear. So, you know, I was just kind of like, okay, you know, that'll be interesting to see how this blows up in their face, or how it, you know, how it works out. Or maybe he was just kind of trying to pump up Bradford's trade value. You know, they gave up a little bit to get him. So,
yeah,
you know, we'll see. But here, since we're still on football here, Dan, the funniest football line of the day, I don't know if you saw this one. Alshon Jeffries came out, or Jeffrey came out and said, "You ready for this, Dan? Are you sitting down? I want to make sure you're okay.
Yeah.
I guarantee you win the Super Bowl next year."
I didn't think that was for real.
Yeah, it's quoted here. He definitely said that. Oddly enough, the Bears have announced today that all their coordinators are coming back. So with a 3-13 team, you will pretty much get the same coaching staff back. At least the top guys. I know some of the, like, I think the running back coach has a college job now, so he'll be leading, you know, leaving for that. But it also was reported today, Dan, that Jay Cutler is ahead of schedule in his recovery from shoulder surgery. Are you excited about getting Jay Cutler back on the field? Because I am.
He got his throwing arm?
Yes.
Oh, man.
Going back to this Jeffrey comment, what I do find kind of humorous here, Dan, he's a free agent. There's probably a better than average chance that he's not going to be back on the team next year.
They didn't franchise him?
They did last year. I don't know if they're going to be able to, if they're going to do it again. So, you know, it could be interesting.
Well, I know I heard the guy talking about it this morning, but I didn't actually hear what he said. I thought that they were just kind of playing on his word, but they were trying to figure out if he was saying that so that whether he stays with the Bears or moves on, he's still in the positive. He's got that positive life for him.
Yeah, you know, I'm thinking that's kind of what this is. You know, there was a lot of negative around him last year. You know, he didn't want to resign. I don't know what would have changed his mind that would make him want to resign here. You know, you just went 3-13. There's no real hope for the future. You know, they could franchise him again, but I believe if you do it a second year in a row, the price really goes up, and I just don't know if he would be worth the, you know, that second franchising, especially with the situation the team is in. I mean, he's not a guy who can win you games single-handedly, so.
That's what everyone makes it out to be, though.
Yeah, it would be interesting. I mean, obviously, you know, the Bears right now need to start thinking about, you know, who they're taking with the third pick, because that's where they ended up. You know, it's Cleveland, San Francisco, and then Chicago on top of the board there. So, you know, that may be where they need to get the focus and find the best guy, and let's not worry about, you know, exclusively picking a quarterback that high, because none of them are that good. You know, or maybe, you know, to be honest, in the Bears' best interest, they may be better off trading out of there and trying to stockpile draft picks, because they need so much help, it's not funny. You know, of course, then the question becomes, you know, do you have enough faith in this organization to draft the right guys? Because let's face it, the last two guys, you know, or at least the last two number ones, haven't been barn burners, I guess you could say. you know, what did Kevin White play this year? What, he played two games, three games this year? It doesn't give me his games, but he caught 19 passes, averaged 9.8 yards a catch, and didn't score. This year's number one was Leonard Floyd. He did have 7 sacks, so that's a positive. Ended up, it looks like he was tied for second on the team. Made 23 tackles and assisted on 10. Not really. He's never been a huge tackler, so you wouldn't expect those numbers to be big. He's legitimately a pass rush guy. But, yeah, you know, it's just kind of like, okay, there's your top two guys from the last 2 years since this regime took over. You know, I don't know. I mean, how confident are you sitting at number three? Well, you know, I guess how confident are you that any of these teams sitting at 1, 2, or 3 are going to make the right choice?
Single with 3 quarterbacks, 1, 2, and 3.
Oh. You know, and yeah, because, you know, that was the weird thing, you know, like with the Browns, with the injury, I don't think they know if Robert Griffin, you know, if RG3 is the answer. You know, San Francisco, obviously, they had no idea what was going on there. You know, the Bears need, you know, they could bring Cutler back one more year, but they do need a QB for the future. You know, the first team on the board who doesn't need a QB is Jacksonville at 4. They've got to be excited just going, hey, cool, yeah, you guys go ahead and screw this up, and we'll just take the best player out there. So... But, yeah, you know, and even, like, looking, you know, like, one of the highest-rated players they have right now, and this is the Scouts, Inc. draft board I'm using, Leonard Fournette, the running back from LSU, is one of the top guys. Well, you know, Cleveland has a pretty good running back in Isaiah Crowell. San Francisco has Carlos Hyde, who, if he can stay healthy, is pretty good. And the Bears don't need a running back. They just established that. The other guy right there with Fournette is a defensive end named Myles Garrett from Texas A&M. So, I don't know if these are going to be the guys coming off the board early or, you know, how they'll work it out. But it'll be interesting when we finally get there. I think the draft's in Philadelphia this year, too. So, but, yeah, I was just kind of like, okay, let's focus on this and not so much worry about how things really kind of went. I think the sooner they forget this year, the better off, right?
Yeah.
So. You know, we'll see how that works out. But I did see there was, I guess you would call it a minor baseball signing or an under-the-radar baseball signing. I saw that Rajay Davis, who almost was a World Series hero, got a 1-year, $6 million deal to go back to the A's. Yeah, you know, I guess that's going to be his trade chip come... so...
You were thinking the same thing I was thinking.
Yeah, well, you know, and to be fair, though, I guess now the A's are in on Mark Trumbo. So I don't know if maybe they would try to make him the guy. I don't know how that would work out. But, you know, he's one of the obviously bigger free agents still out there. You know, Jose Bautista's hanging around. Mike Napoli's hanging around. But Trumbo, you know, did it 47 bombs last year. You know, yeah, so it looks like the A's have contacted his people about how that would work out for him coming to Oakland. I don't know. Do you see that one happening?
Well, he got his ring in Boston, right?
He got what?
A ring in Boston.
Yeah, I know. I mean, they didn't win it. They didn't win at all. So.
Oh, no, I can't keep track of how many teams this guy's on. He's on a different team every 6 months, every 3 months.
Yeah, he has jumped around quite a bit.
Wasn't he there in 13?
He was there. I got to double check here. Let me pull up his stuff here. I can tell you. He was with the Angels till 2013. Then he spent 2 years with Arizona, well, a year and a half with Arizona, part of a year with Seattle, and he went to Baltimore last year. So did the Angels win a World Series while he was there?
No, I'm thinking of the other first baseman guy that's going around.
Oh, Napoli?
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, he won a ring in Boston. He was there when they won it. So, but yeah, still a lot of. Are you surprised by how many big name guys are still hanging around out here?
A little bit. I mean, at the same time, you know, they're gonna get signed. So I don't think the old adage that you have to be signed before the holidays, you know, has to happen anymore. I think it's a nice thing, but you know, it's got a whole month to figure it out.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that's more, you know, obviously the player wants to be signed, especially, you know, if you have family or something, you know, or if you got school age kids and that kind of stuff, you want to be able to get in and get settled and, you know, all the kind of stuff that goes along with having a family. But yeah, a lot of these guys, I don't think they care as long as they're signed to go start spring training, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, was he another qualifying offer guy?
You know, I believe.
I think the A's would be in perfect position to grab him. And again, you know, along with him and Roger Davis, they could probably get a couple decent prospects in July.
See if I can find him here and see if he was a qualifying guy. My alphabet is struggling here, though. There we go. Yeah, he was a qualifying guy. He declined the qualifying offer. So.
And, I mean, I can't imagine the A's not being in the top 10 for the draft, so.
Yeah. They definitely have a protected pick, so they won't they won't be giving anything up there to deal with that. So no issues there at all. But yeah, you know, I thought that was kind of interesting when I heard that. I was kind of like, okay, well, I guess, you know, Oakland's trying to build some trade value. You know, because I'm sure, you know, Davis on a low-term deal like that, I'm sure come, you know, trade deadline, some contending team will be interested in bringing him on as a fourth outfielder. You know, and then if they can, you know, if they can bring Trumbo in, you know, that would be kind of their style. But, yeah, other than that, yeah, it's been kind of dead. I'm waiting for that to... you know, that market to kind of heat up and give us, you know, more fun stuff to talk about, wondering why the heck we, you know, it took so long for these guys to jump on. So, but all right, here you go, Dan. We got the big matchup tonight. I know you're all geared up to watch this. It's the Chicago Bulls at the Cleveland Cavaliers. It, of course, is the main game on the Mickey Mouse Network tonight. I saw earlier that for the Cavaliers, Kevin Love, Kyrie Irving, and LeBron James are all game-time decisions. Now, you know, Love had that food poisoning incident. I guess he ate some bad sea bass and ended up losing like 10 pounds in a day or two. Maybe I should look into that diet. Rondo has a hamstring injury that he just can't get rid of. And they didn't – I don't remember what is going on with LeBron. Maybe it's general soreness or, you know, one of those oddity things. Are you figuring on a, you know, a game today where, you know, they're facing the Bulls and it's a marquee matchup and all that fun stuff? Do you have – you have all three of these guys playing tonight, or do you think maybe one of them sits out and ESPN gets upset?
I think one of them sits out.
Oh, here they're saying LeBron is sick, is what his is. Let's see what we got. Just says he's recovering from an illness. So I don't know. They don't really go into detail what it actually is, so I'm sure it's nothing. For the Bulls, Dwayne Wade, of course, is still dealing with a swollen knee. He missed their last game against the Hornets. But I would assume, again, part of the reason he missed that game is so he could play tonight. So, yeah, I don't know how much are you gonna catch. You gonna catch this game? How much of this game are you gonna watch?
What time does it start? Is it 6 o'clock? Did it start already?
It is a. I believe, being that it's on the Mickey Mouse Network, I believe it's a 7 o'clock start. Let me double check here. Yes, it is. It is a 7 p.m. start.
I'll most likely tune in for the second half.
So. Yeah, the schedule real quick here. There are a couple games that already started here. It's the Oklahoma City Thunder at the Charlotte Hornets and the Atlanta Hawks at the Orlando Magic. They're already going. 6:30, we get the Milwaukee Bucks at the New York Knicks. The Bulls and the Cavs are 7 p.m. on the Mickey Mouse Network. And the 3:30 start times are the Memphis Grizzlies at the LA Clippers, the Miami Heat at the Sacramento Kings, and then the second game on the Mickey Mouse Network is Portland Trail Blazers at the Golden State Warriors. So,
oh damn!
So, and speaking of the Bulls, Rajon Rondo has been out. I think it's two games. He got pulled from a game, and then he sat the last two for coach's decisions because, let's face it, he's a gigantic turd. He pretty much does this everywhere he goes. This has happened with just about every team he's played on. Actually, I think it has happened on every team he's played on. Luckily, the Bulls were smart enough to sign him to just a one-year deal in case they had a problem like this. What I did find interesting, Dan, is oddly the Bulls are still pubbing Rajon Rondo bobblehead night, which I thought was quite humorous. What can they do with this schmuck? I mean, would any team take him in a deal, or are they just looking at eating this guy for the rest of the year?
I don't understand. it seemed like for the first month or so, month and a half of, I almost said baseball, but basketball, everything seemed to be good and dandy. This guy was all over the floor. He seemed to be that, I don't want to say a missing piece, but he seemed to be a good fit to what was going on. Now, is he maybe having trouble with it being Jimmy's team?
Yeah, I would wonder that, except the fact that he's not a big time scorer. So I don't think that should bother him at all.
Mm-hmm. I mean, cause I don't, not seeing many Celtics games over the last couple of years. And I know you've got the big teams, the Bulls, the Lakers, the Celtics. I forget the other ones. The Knicks, growing up, these were the teams you watched. These are the teams that are on TV every weekend. The Celtics, for the last couple of years, it's kind of like, who's the Celtics? They're coming back again. I know my nephew's only in freshman in high school, but he loves basketball. Oddly, he doesn't play. He's a football wrestler. But, for him, I like listening to him because, coming up when they signed Rajon Rondo, he's like, this is kind of what the Bulls need. They need a guy who's going to run around the court, grab boards, maybe not grab, the boards a whole lot, but get the ball, move the ball around a lot and pass it off. And I thought that's what we were going to see, an assist machine. Because, let's be honest, the closest thing that Bulls had to that was Joakim Noah, because we didn't want him taking shots.
Yeah, well, to be fair, we don't want Rondo taking shots either. He's shooting 36.9% from the field. So yeah, we don't want him shooting the ball either. But
no,
yeah, you
I
know, it was you know, I know, you know, like last year, he was with the Kings last year. I mean, that team is just dysfunctional as it is. And he had a couple issues. He ended up missing, I think it was 9 games for them. But, he, you know, he averaged over almost 12 points a game, 11.9. And then he averaged 11.7 assists per game. And, yeah, I thought that was something the Bulls could really look forward to having, was, you know, him kind of getting out and dishing the ball and getting open shots for, you know, the obvious guys, you know, Jimmy and Wade and those guys, but also to help out guys like Doug McDermott and, you know, Nikola Mirotic get those open looks at threes. Yeah. You know, which is what the NBA has developed in, a drive and kick league. He is averaging, you know, 7.1 assists for the Bulls when he plays, but, you know, that's down 4+ from last year, and it's 1.5 under his career average.
Do you think he just doesn't like Fred? You think they're butting heads?
You know,
I mean, I know you're at practice every day.
Yeah. I wish I knew. You know, and again, Rondo is, you know, notorious for this. I mean, this has happened. You know, it got so bad when he was with the Mavericks that they actually told him to stay home and they continued to pay him. You know, just one of those things. That's how bad it was with Dallas. They were like, don't come around. Here's your check. Stay away. you know, I kind of wondered if, you know, this would happen when the Bulls brought him in. But, you know, I mean, it's a 500 team where he could really make a positive. And I just wonder why, you know, now, I mean, we're looking at a guy who, God, what is it here? 3, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. He's in his 12th season. You know, you think by now he would know better?
Figure it out.
You know, you would. Yeah, you know, and I mean, I get it. You know, he's only 30, so he's still got a really good quality, probably 5 or 6 years left to give a team if he's healthy. And, you know, the stupidity just baffles me when it comes to these guys. I don't know if maybe he's just got to find a better way to express himself. Or, you know, what it is, but, you know, he had the proverbial meeting with Gar Pax, you know, John Paxson and Gar Foreman. And Rondo's quote was, he didn't get a clear-cut message on what his role is. So I don't know. He's, you know, like, he also went on to say they're going to talk again. You know, at this point, I mean, if you're the Bulls, I mean, you're almost better off just letting this guy walk. You know, I don't see the good of just having him sit on the bench, right?
No, I mean, I think you work it out where you let him walk and don't let him, you figure out a way where he can't play. Or, I don't know, you know, this is one of the biggest issues I had with, you know, the independent pro wrestling scene. I mean, I can't even – I've got to imagine that Hunter or Paul Levesque and Stephanie have it much easier because they can just flat out say, well, you don't like it, then go tour the indie scene, you loser. But, yeah. I mean, what is my role? Your role is to play basketball and win games. You shouldn't have any other role. I don't understand that. This essential need for gratification all the time and having to know exactly what your role is to win games. Your role is to be a part of a team, win games, pass the ball, hit your numbers. You know, like they always say with baseball, you're supposed to get, you know, what's on the back of your baseball card. Well, for him, you know, you're supposed to get what's on the back of your basketball card. And I mean, I don't know. That's just, I had no issues with this guy up until you said that. I don't know what my role in this team is. You know, after that, I mean, I think you're right. Gar and Pax and Fred could have heard that and just wash their hands of it. I don't think you don't have room, and you don't need that with all the dysfunctionality that came along with with D Rose over the last three seasons. I mean, you're better off just cutting it off at the knees and covering ties.
Yeah, that's kind of the way I look at it now. Eat the loss and move on. You don't need it.
No.
So, I'm just kind of baffled by, I mean, obviously, you were brought in here to play point guard. Your role is to be the point guard. What do point guards do? Is it that hard?
No. And that's one of the other things I just never understood with the NBA and basketball in general was the positions. Obviously, I got the whole center, but other than that, I never understood the role to begin with.
Yeah, well, and especially now in the NBA, the roles are so blurred. I mean, you got 7-foot guys who can shoot 3-pointers, and you got guards like Russell Westbrook, who's all a 6'3 or 6'4, who get almost 10 rebounds a game. So, I mean, is it really that difficult? I mean, you're playing basketball, I mean, your role is to do whatever it is to help the team win, be it guard somebody, rebound, pass, or score. And I know, again, he's not a great scorer, but, he's always been regarded as a pretty solid defender. And, he's always been able to, get his teammates involved and, rack up the assists. That's fine, man. Do that. I don't know what the problem is.
I thought the dysfunction was gone when, Rose went to New York.
Yeah, well, this is Rondo's thing. He's a big schlub like this. And, obviously he fit in so well with the Kings last year because as a whole, they're the definition of dysfunction. So it was, no real issue there when he was a turd there.
Yeah, well, and I'm not going to say that no one else talked about it, but the minute that the signing was made, though, I know that was your first point.
Yeah, there were a few guys that panned it publicly who do have a little bigger form than you and I do. But, yeah, that was a fear. And at first I didn't have any problems. He was fine. And just all of a sudden here, and I didn't really see it. He didn't really have a huge outburst or, and anything like that. So it was just kind of odd that, they pulled him from, I think it was the Milwaukee game. He didn't play the second half, and he sat the last two. Who knows if he's going to play tonight? I mean, even with Dwayne Wade sitting out, he didn't even get any minutes in the last game. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle it tonight. But since we are on the NBA, Dan, and we did go over the schedule, I want to throw a couple of your picks at you here as I see we're getting pretty close to wrapping up. You did go 3-0 last night. You hit on your Dallas Maverick and the Spurs got a win, and then luckily for you, the Capitals came back and got an overtime. But we went over the games once, so I'm just going to give you the picks here. We'll do two NBA, one HL, NHL like we've been doing. I'm going to force you to pick this Milwaukee Bucks at the New York Knicks game. I did just see that Porzingis isn't in the starting lineup for the Knicks, but they didn't announce if he wasn't going to play. Let me see if there's any type of update here. All it says is Lance Thomas will start in place of Kristaps Porzingis tonight. This allows Carmelo Anthony to play power forward, which may be a better defensive position for him. Okay, here, they got a better update here. Porzingis will not play tonight because of an Achilles injury. I don't know if that changes your pick tonight, but yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if that changes anything for you, but there you go. So Dan's going to jump on Milwaukee. And then, of course, we got to do the local game here. The Bulls are in Cleveland, Dan. They haven't announced who's playing for Cleveland or any of the other BS that's going on, so you're going to have to wing it. You got the Bulls going in there and getting a win, or the Cavaliers stomp them out tonight?
I would love the Bulls to go in and get a win, but I think it's going to be a Cavs kind of night.
And let's hunt up the NHL schedule. Did you see Columbus did get a win last night, so it's 16?
Wow, they're on a roll.
Yeah. But the funny thing, Dan, is I believe they need one more win to tie the record, and their next game is tomorrow. Guess who they play?
The Blackhawks.
Oh, close. Who's your team in the Eastern Conference?
The Capitals.
Yeah, they're in Washington tomorrow to, I believe, try to tie the record. So that'll be interesting. But here's the NHL schedule tonight. We got the Winnipeg Jets at the Florida Panthers. The NBCSM game is the New York Rangers at the Philadelphia Flyers. It is Rivalry Wednesday. We got the Montreal Canadiens at the Dallas Stars. The Colorado Avalanche at the Calgary Flames. The Arizona Coyotes at the Vancouver Canucks. And the Detroit Red Wings at the Anaheim Ducks rounds out the night. Let's be different here, Dan. Let's jump on that last game. The Red Wings are at the Ducks tonight. Who you got getting a win there?
John Gibson's in the goal.
I don't have it in front of me, but I would like to think. Did you put him in your lineup?
Nah, I didn't grab him this year. I'm just going to go with the Ducks at home.
So, yeah, I thought for sure you would have, you always get the same guys. How did you not, somebody must outbid you. That goalie bidding was a little weird definitely an interesting tidbit there this season. Let me see if I can check real quick. John Gibson is in goal tonight, so there you go. You are all set. It's Peter Mrazek for the Red Wings, in case you're wondering as well. So there you go. Dan gets his stuff all locked in, and, we'll see you. But, yeah, big night. I thought for sure you were losing that Capitals. And Toronto looked really good, but, man, they folded late and cost them the game. All right, the music team, Dan and I are going to take – we're coming back tomorrow at 5:30 live. Hopefully Dan will have a little better luck with his connection. We had kind of a rough day with that. But the deal while we're away. Get over to sportstimeradio.com. Check out all the cool stuff there. Follow the link over to the Facebook page. Give that a like. Jump on and follow the Twitter feed at sportstimeradio. Now, Dan's going to come up there, but don't forget they'll also come up at Dan C. Mann with three E's in that. In the NBA tonight, he's got the Bucks getting a win. He likes the Cavaliers to get a win. And then in the NHL, he's going with the Anaheim Ducks to pick up a win. So get on that Twitter feed, let Dan know what you think. As always, thanks for listening live, and don't forget now at tunein.com.
Sports Time Radio.